This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Fish on a heater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP podcast that gets to 499 CP at level 49. DeFi, what's going on in PvP?
Well, we just wrapped up another week of the Go Battle League. This time it was Open Great League and Master League Premier. I had a really good time running a team that I actually chatted about starting in the BTW server from a trainer named Vince. It was a team of all purple Pokemon, which is why I liked it. It wasn't even just because it was anti-meta or anything.
Let me guess. So purple Pokemon, they're in Great League?
Yeah.
Here we go. We've got the first Pokemon I'm thinking of is Cloyster, but
absolutely not.
Yeah, no way. Nidoqueen's blue. We've got what are the other meta Pokemon we've got? Actually, you know what? This is going to take a really long time for me to think of anything, so I'll just hand that one back to you.
All right, it'll be Tapu Fini in the lead,
of course,
and then Gliscor and Sableye.
I would never have guessed Glasgow.
Yeah. So it was really fun. I like that the whole team has play against both Medicham and Galarian Stunfisk. I really, really like that about it. Lantern is kind of tough, and Abomasnow is kind of tough for the team. But I saw a lot of Medicham, and it was cool that all three of my Pokemon had no issue with Medicham in particular. So I really liked that. I had some really good climbing days. I had some not so great days. But overall, it was just fun. I liked that it wasn't, you know, Bastiodon, Shadow Victory Bell, and Medicham. It was actually, like, some interesting matchups. Like, the Noctowl Tapu Fini matchup I thought was interesting. Yeah, I really liked it. So shout out to the BTW Discord server. Shout out to Vince. Thank you for posting your team so I could learn it and have a little bit of fun in the Open Great League. How did you do this week?
Well, I was running Gliscor as well. The only reason I wouldn't have thought of it is because that thing is great, man. that is not a purple Pokemon. I actually did look it up, and it, like, officially it does count as purple, but it also, like,
I was gonna say, you want a bet?
Bet. They also say Charizard is red.
That's true.
That's not red. Yeah, like, I don't know what they think colors are. But I'm running Shadow Gliscor myself. Again, a BTW member. It was Wildcat Dad turned up in one of my streams and suggested the Great League team of Shadow Gliscor, Water Gun Lantern, and Bastiodon. And I used that for a while, and I didn't mind it, but I ended up swapping the Bastiodon to Galarian Stunfisk because just a little more flexibility. Like, Bastiodon gets some wins that G-Fisk has a harder time with, such as, you know, a Sableye. Like, a lot of those more neutral Pokemon, Bastiodon can win. Umbreon as well, I think, is another one. But I preferred G-Fisk's ability to play back at some of the things that it struggles with. Like, if you get up enough energy against, like, a Trevenant, then you can overcome it with, you know, rock slides, that kind of thing. And like a counter user as well. Like, if you get it locked in against a Medicham, you can take out a Medicham in two earthquakes. So, like, if they take too long swapping their Medicham in, then you can force a shield out of them. So that's why I made that change. And I've been climbing again, finally climbing again, back up into the 2700s.
Nice. I'm still right around 2,500. 2,600 about is the highest I got.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes in this upcoming week, which is May 3rd to May 10th, which is Open Ultra League and the Little Cup. For the Little Cup, Pokemon must be at or below 500 CP to enter, and it's only Pokemon that are able to evolve and have not even evolved once that are eligible. We just had Little Cup not too long ago. It's a Bronzor meta. Your top 10 is Bronzor, and that's really all that matters. But again, for the sake of, you know, being thorough.
Completion.
So it's an XL Bronzor that you're going to use. XL Wynot, both Shadow and regular Ducklett, Shelmet, Shadow and regular Wooper, Dino, Alolan Vulpix, XL Galarian Zigzagoon, a female Shadow Nidoran, and Jangmo-o are some of your other options for the Little Cup. And again, I'm not going to play it. I'm going to shoot for that Open Ultra League instead. And I'm going to take just a quick peek at PB Poke. So in the Open Ultra League, your top Pokemon is that XL Registeel, being kind of king of the meta. Then following that up, we have Cresselia, XL Pidgeot. Registeel can be both regular and shadow, by the way. Then Regirock, Cobalion, XL Steelix, which can be shadow as well. Giratina Altered, which is the one with the legs. XL Trevenant, Shadow and regular Swampert, and Virizion as well. So those are some of your options in the Open Ultra League. Charizard, of course, is a popular pick as well. It's down there a little bit in the rankings. I've been seeing a lot of Gliscor, both the Shadow and the regular, as well as Tapu Fini. Of course, you can always run your Hundo, Galarian, Stunfisk as well.
Do you have any teams in mind that you plan to use?
Absolutely not. So I need to be doing my research because I want to play. We were talking before stream. I want to stream some GBL, but I refuse to build an XL Bronzor. I'm not going to do it. If it didn't have to be XL and I could use my regular Bronzor, fine. But I'm not building another Little Cup Bronzor. Not going to happen. So I want to try to find something. I have a Cresselia for Ultra League. I have the Pidgeot. I have a Swampert.
Yep.
I don't have a lot of other things built, but I'm sure I can make something work using some of those picks.
Yeah, I have a weird problem where like I might find a team in a certain meta that does well, and then by the time it comes around again, I have no recollection whatsoever of what that team was. So it's like I have to rediscover the meta every time.
So I will be doing some research. I will be doing some asking around. And I want to just try to find a team that's fun. Try to find a team that I find enjoyable. I like debuffing my opponents, so perhaps that Pidgeot is the Pokemon for me. Because Feather Dance is great.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yes. It's great. I'm a big fan.
Again, though, trade-offs. So, like, yeah, Pidgeot does so, so well with that Feather Dance debuff. It's just, it doesn't have any tools against opposing Steel-type Pokemon like a Noctowl would.
True. It's all Flying-type moves all the time.
So, after the Ultra League and Little Cup meta, we have from May 10 to May 17, Open Ultra League and the Great League Sunshine Cup. This is where only normal fire, grass, and ground type Pokemon are eligible, with Charizard banned. The top 10 is Normal City, DeFi.
It is. I was like, Golden, it's Goldenrod City. That's the normal type gym.
Yes. Your first opponent will be Whitney.
Yes.
And she'll be using a Miltank with like the actual rollout that gets more and more powerful every time. Fun fact, I discovered at one point that like my way of getting past Miltank's Whitney was if you head further north before taking on the gym, you head further north into the national park and find the TM for Dig. And teach that to one of your Pokemon. Dig, of course, causes, you know, one of her rollouts to miss, and when she misses, the power resets. So she could never actually get up momentum because I just kept digging. And
that's a good strategy.
Yeah, yeah. It was the only way I could beat her, unless I like powered up my Pokemon to like ridiculous levels. Anyway, so the normal type Pokemon that you'll find at the top of the PV Poke rankings are Pidgeot, Noctowl, Double, Vigoroth, and Diggersby. And then there are some lesser non-normal Pokemon. They are Victini, Galarian Stunfisk, Gliscor, Miltank, and Gligar.
I'm really interested in to see how this meta turns out. I would love Fish to have a double. That would be amazing. But I have not seen nary a Wooloo, nary one, since its debut. So I'm a little out of luck there. Hopefully, I was hoping there like during like the springtime event that we got, it would be back. Like I think of cute sheep in the spring, like that seemed thematic, but I was severely disappointed.
And it makes sense. Like it's the perfect time. Surely, here is Niantic. We need Wooloo. I do have a double built for Great League, and it's ranked 349, which I'm pretty happy with. I do also have a Wooloo that is 14, 15, 15 that could be built for Ultra League, but I have a grand total of 15 XLs for it. So I am also hoping that Wooloo comes back.
Yes.
Fantastic say swap.
It seems so good with so many normal types in the meta, having that access to that double kick. It just feels like the right decision. It feels good. Yeah. But Vigoroth still is fantastic. Vigoroth also makes a fantastic safe swap in a lot of metas, especially restricted ones. It does really, really well. There's not a ton, it looks like, to hard counter a Vigoroth. So, because even like the Pidgeot and the Noctowl have, you know, that part normal type. Yeah. So they're taking neutral from counters. So, I don't know, Vigoroth, definitely a Vigoroth meta.
Yeah, looking like it. Looking down the list, we've got, actually, I don't need to look down the list. I can just click on Vigoroth and it'll tell me its counters. That's the magic of PV Poke. Gliscor, resisting the counter damage. Pidgeot, it says, is a pretty decent counter. Talonflame, Ninetales beats Vigoroth in the straight one shields, and then there is Double as well. So it's Double is getting to body slams one turn quicker than what Vigoroth is, but Vigoroth is doing more damage with its counters than what the double kick would. So that one would be a really interesting matchup, I think. Like any sort of energy lead one way or the other, or shield advantage, could probably, you know, wildly affect that matchup.
So that is the Great League Sunshine Cup. We'll definitely talk more about it next week when the time comes. Taking one more week into the future, we have the Open Master League and Little Element Cup. So that is only Fire, Grass, and Water-type Pokemon eligible, and only Pokemon that are able to evolve and have not evolved even once are eligible. So I'm thinking Ducklett and Cottonee.
Yeah. I think, if I remember rightly, this was the last meta I hit Legend in, and I did it running a double Razorleaf strategy.
That's a choice, Fish.
That's a choice that you made. No regrets. It's insane. Like in certain situations, you could beat like quick attack Vulpixes with a Shadow Oddish. Like, it's so bad.
You can't see the face I'm making, but it's disgusted. I'm making a face that is just pure disgust. Moving right along, we can talk about Arcana just really briefly. Again, it is the new individual sylph meta, but not very new. It's going to be very familiar to people who are in factions. That has been one of the field metas in the factions format in Sylph. I have not played Arcana, so it's new to me. I've been doing Catacomb this month. But just again, shouting out to our PB Poke Top 10. Pelipper, Regulyr and Shadow Shiftry, Gengar, Mew, Shadow Honchkrow, Tyrant, Runerigus, Kofagrigus, Shadow Alolan Marowak, and Haunter. I'm loving this love for ghost types. Also, Pelipper is fantastic. I love it as a Pokemon. So interested to see, gonna be trying to build a team up for that pretty soon. I haven't been doing really any practice tournaments, but I'm sure some have completed. So if I head on over to sylph.gg and I look at Arcana Cup resources, the cup stats have populated. And some Pokemon that aren't necessarily high in PB Poke that I didn't mention, but are in here, Jumpluff is popular at 23%, Malamar at 15%, Crustle on 15% of teams, Defense Deoxys on 14% of teams, also Ferrothorn on 10% of teams. I see an Aggron and I'm a little disappointed that that's more popular than Alolan Marowak. I don't like it. I don't approve. I don't respect it. Aggron.
Again, Aggron's a choice.
It's a choice that you can make.
Yeah. And I respect you. You can run Aggron and you'll get my approval.
I don't know about mine. Mine's still, I haven't decided yet.
Don't let D-Pi scare you off. Okay. Don't let that mean lady scare you.
Get knocked out by like one Pelipper Weather Ball.
Like, it could survive one, I guess. And then it's double resisting the wing attack, so you can't really, they can't farm you down.
Yeah.
I did say that I was going to put more prep in this time, and my intentions were good. I did start, you know, looking at teams a lot earlier this month than I have the last couple of months. But then all the teams I kind of put together, I was like, I absolutely need Tyrant in my team. Like, it's just making everything look so much better. And right now, I don't have really enough candy to build a Tyrant. So I can't enter any practice tournaments until I have walked that thing enough to, or accrued enough rare candy to be able to build it. I am only, I think, 30 odd candy away, but it's a 5 kilometer walker. So it's taken a while to get regular Tyrant candy, and I'm hoping to get as much of that because I'm pretty low on rare candy stocks as well. So
you were talking and I was confused. I'm like, isn't it just regular candy? It's not an XL.
I don't have enough actual candy. Yeah. Yeah, I think I think it's like one of those ones that gets to level 40-ish, so like some Tyrant you can use XLs for. I might be thinking of something else.
Yeah, it's right around level 40.
Yeah.
Depending on your Tyrant.
I need 335 candy to build it to Great League level and double move it. I currently have 194. And how much rare candy? I've got 121 rare candy.
I have a Tyrant that's rank 1,525.
Let's go.
And it would go to 41.5.
Okay, sure. Get that attack weighted Tyrant. Think of those Dragon Tail breakpoints.
I have a hundo.
Oh.
That I got from a trade.
Master League Tyrantrum.
I guess. That one only needs to get to 34. Level 34.
Yeah. True. I mean, so are you looking to use Tyrant this month?
I like the idea because it's an adorable little dragon. It's adorable little
huge
lizard. It's a great, it's probably arguably one of the best fossil Pokemon. It's fantastic.
Whoa, you leave Shadow Omastar out of this.
Cthulhu, okay. But yeah, I'm interested, but like you, yours is because you don't have the candy. I don't know if I have the one I want to build.
Yeah. So if you and I joined forces.
Yeah, because I have plenty of rare candy. Like, I could build it right now if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'm actually playing through Pokemon X right now, and I just got to the point where I had to pick the fossil Pokemon. And it was a tough choice between Tyrant and Amora.
They're both so good. Honestly, it's the best.
Yeah, it's the best generation for fossils.
I mean, Gen 8 made me laugh. Gen 8 made me laugh.
Oh, really?
The fossils. The ones where they're put together wrong.
I don't know anything about it. I haven't played Gen 8.
Oh, my goodness. Like, can I talk about it?
Yeah, yeah, go for
it. I find them to be hilarious. All right, so there's four Pokemon that you reanimate in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Dracozolt, yep. Arctozolt, Dracovish, and Arctovish. And they're kind of hilarious because you can tell that someone put two fossils together and they're wrong. Like, they're not put together correctly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a shout out to the, like, the British museums messing up these fossils.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. That is amazing. Yeah. What a reference.
Yes. So it's pretty great. I'm trying to remember the person's name. Careless. Careless. Careless.
Yeah.
Yep. Careless.
Yeah. I get it.
And it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm only two generations away in my very, very slow playthrough.
You'll enjoy them. You can just tell, like, they're backwards and upside down. And there's a head. Dracovish is a head attached to, like, the bottom of a tail. It's it's all very strange.
And, like, that's the actual design of the Pokemon, right? It's not like they bring it to life and they're like, hang on, we've done this wrong.
No, it's that's the Pokemon. Design.
Yeah.
I want to be able to put them back together, right? But I can't. I want to take Arctovish's head and put it on Arctozolt's body, and I can't. And it bothers me.
So, Tyrant's good for.
So, Tyrant's good.
Arcana Cup. And trying to put one together. We would both like one, but we both have restrictions, both have difficulties to overcome. So that's Sylph for this week. We are now going to move on to our Play Pokemon section. And this weekend we have Portland, Oregon in the USA. 47 registered for that. To be honest, I thought it would be more by now, because looking at some of these others, we've got Sao Paulo, Brazil is happening on May 6th to 7th, and that's got 157 registered. We've got Hartford in Connecticut happening May 19th to 21, and that's 164. We have Malmö, Sweden, May 20th to 21, 76 registered for that. Then we have the Mega Weekend on June 2nd to 4th, Milwaukee, Torino, and Santiago. Milwaukee has recently opened its registration. Torino, we don't have the registration details for yet, but we might ask around, see if we can find something next week. And Santiago, Chile, that's sold out. That's already, like, it was opened and then it was closed.
Yep. And again, all of these numbers are not available to the public. So we get these by kind of asking around and looking on social media. So, and again, I just checked another social media account. Portland's a little closer to 61 registered. So still, oh, like, not your Hartford numbers, but a little bit more than 47. But I think it's still going to be a slightly smaller tournament. That is okay. We've got some big ones coming up.
61 still seems big to me. For some reason in my mind, there seems to be a pretty big difference between 61 and 47. Well, I mean, it's like a third bigger than what it was. But I'm always reminded that, like, OCIC had 70 people. So, like, just regular regionals in the USA are competing with the internationals in Oceania.
We got a lot of battlers here.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and it, I think it shows more that APAC is just so small, as opposed to, like, North America, Latin America, and EU always just absolutely blow my mind with the numbers. I think it's also because like, to be fair, it's not that Asia Pacific doesn't have the number of battlers that the other regions do. It's that they tend to all have their own little systems. Like, I know the there was a huge qualifier in India recently where all the Indian battlers were playing. Like, why would the Indian battlers fly all the way to Melbourne when they've got their own, like, I think it was done remotely, like a remote Indian qualifier, and then there was like another Asian one that a friend of mine named Fine Panic was playing in, and he said he made it to day two as well. That was done remotely as well. So I think a lot of the Asian countries have just their own system, which affects numbers in some of the APAC, like, play Pokemon events that you know, we know of and we think of when we talk about play Pokemon.
Very true. Not everything is run through TPCI, the Pokemon yes. Company International. Some of them are run through TPC, the Pokemon Company, and some of those other qualifiers and things are going to run differently depending on who under the giant Pokemon umbrella is running them. And with that, I think we are ready for our mailbag, Fish. We have two pieces of mail today. The first one is from Zek Kahona, who is going to be talking about Master League, staying motivated, team building, lots of different topics in here.
They say, hi, Tish and Fie. Trying to swap the first letters of our name. I don't think it quite works phonetically, but I applaud the effort. I am a level 39 player from the Netherlands. I like that PvP Corner is now a separate podcast. I listen to it since episode 182 and are listening to the older ones as well. I have some questions. Maybe you guys can help me. Here they come. I have a rank 3 Togekiss for Master League, but I also have 300 Togetic in my Pokemon storage. I would like to know if it's worth to go for the rank 1, or doesn't that matter?
So in Master League, you want the hundo. So for Master League, the rank 3 is probably like a 98% Togekiss. Generally, what we call a functional hundo, a lot of times, like the 15-15-14, is going to get exactly the same wins as the rank 1. So it depends on where you're missing that one stat. Is it from attack? Is it from defense? Is it from HP? But again, that's up to you. If you're looking at Open Master League, and again, that's level 50 now. We don't have any classics. So if you are looking to level 50 that Togekiss, for me, I wouldn't want to do it for anything other than a hundo or something that behaves exactly like a hundo, a functional hundo. Because if I put all those resources in and then a month later I catch a hundo or I hatch a hundo Togepi, I would be upset.
Yeah.
But that's me. That's me. Some people, they're like, yeah, like I've got a 96 or 98 Togekiss, and it's still going to beat the things that it beats. Like a Charm Togekiss, you're always going to beat Yveltal. There's nothing that Yveltal can do to beat the Togekiss. Like Charm is always going to do a lot of damage. Does that make sense, Fish?
Totally, and I completely agree. I always try not to build anything unless I actually need it. Because once I've built it, then I'm really good. Like if I've built a rank 30 of something, I'm really never going to spend the resources building a rank 26 after that. So I would, encourage you to just look through what you've got to... Oh, hang on. No, you've already built the rank 3. I mean, it's worth taking a look. Like, if you've got a hundo in your storage, then you're probably not going to delete that, right? I don't think, depending on what your Stardust situation is like, then it's probably better to just spend the Stardust on other stuff. But it's always worth a look.
Yeah, I have the rank 3 for Master League, but I don't know if that means he built it. I have
So if you have already built it, then... Yeah, I probably wouldn't try and build the rank 1.
Oh, I'm looking later. I currently have max at my level. So max 4, level 39. Yeah, Togekiss rank 3. So yeah, I would say build something else. And then if you find yourself later having all the things you want in Master League, and you have this amazing arsenal of Pokemon, and then you find yourself wanting to build a hundo, do it. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not at that place. If you find yourself at that place, I applaud you, and you should do what you want with your Stardust.
I have built second versions of a Pokemon if I've got one that's like several hundred ranks above. So like I was running a Jellicent in Great League for a long time that was ranked like 1500, and then eventually I built a rank 15. And I also, I believe, built a third Jellicent just so I could have one with different movesets and I wouldn't have to keep TMing back and forth. So that would be another potential reason why you'd build another Pokemon with a similar rank. But aside from that, yeah, no other reason that I can really think of.
His next question is, I would like to participate more in PvP, but I often find it boring after a few sets. Do you have any tips on how to stay motivated? I can think of a couple fish. The first one would be participating in the Sylph Arena, because that offers a variety of different metas month to month that you can participate in. So if you're interested in joining the GoCast Patreon Discord server, we hold monthly tournaments using a variety of restricted metas. We just talked about the Arcana meta. So that helps keep things interesting. To keep Go Battle League interesting, you could try switching up your teams a little bit more frequently. I personally find more success if I stick to the same team, and just even if I have a bad day, just keep going. But you can certainly switch it up. There's a game that some content creators like to play called Copycat, and you play a team until you lose, and then you switch to the team that you lost to. So if Joe beats me, I'm going to use Joe's team until someone else beats me. Let's then Jane beats me, then I'm going to use Jane's team.
Highly recommended only if you have a very wide arsenal of Pokemon. I did do the Copycat Challenge once in an early season, so like early on in the season before anyone had hit rank 20, and I saw some wild stuff. I almost got beaten by a team with Charmeleon on it.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was like, and this was on stream, so I was like, oh, please don't lose. And everyone was like, lose. I would also add that if you're not feeling motivated to play GBL, you don't have to. Like, it's fine to take a break. It's fine to, like, it's not like you're less of a battler if you get bored of it after a while. Like, it's totally fine if you only find enjoyment playing a couple of sets at a time.
Exactly. I could not agree more. It's fine to take a break.
Yeah.
And looks like your last bullet point says, I want to play in Master League more, but as a level 39 player, it's hard to do much against the level 50s. I currently have max at my level an Excadrill, rank 1, a Gyarados Max Buddy, rank 1, a Kyogre. You have a Hondo Kyogre. I'm so jealous. I want one. I have so many shinies, but no Hondos. A Togekiss, rank 3, a Dialga, rank 9, a Mewtwo, rank 24. Do you have any tips for a team or other Pokemon that will help with a better team if I can build that one in the future?
So that, I'm really sorry to hear about the trying to compete in Master League, because like that's a rough go, and like there's really nothing we can say to help with that aspect of it. It's really just time. Like once you finally get to, I mean, well, you can earn XLs from level 38, right?
Yeah, you can start earning them.
Yeah, so
for sure. So
just start grinding. And it'll take a while, but you'll get there eventually.
So I would say Pokemon to keep your eye out for in raids or trades. Maybe you get a lucky trade that goes really well. Groudon is kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. With its new move of Precipice Blades along with Fire Punch. Both of those are legacy moves. So if you don't have them, they would require an elite TM. So two elite TMs. But it's very good. Other Pokemon that are very, very solid Master League picks, Lugia, using Dragon Tail, Sky Attack, and Aeroblast. Aeroblast, again, being a legacy move. is incredible. Mm-hmm. Also a Pokemon that you can use in both Open Master League and Master League Premier, and is just like versatile like that, would be Dragonite. Mm-hmm. I would say is a great Pokemon to keep your eye out for. Dratini is featured fairly often, so hopefully you might have like a Hundo Dratini or a 98, something that you would feel comfortable building. And Dragonite is really, really nice because you can use it in both Master League Open and Master League Premier and does well in both leagues.
Dragonite actually quite likely to be the first Master League Pokemon I build because I do have the candy for it and I've got a Hundo ready to go. I have heard quite a bit that Dialga and Zacian make a great core together. So if you manage to find a good Zacian, then you can put some resources into that. And I don't think you mentioned Ho-Oh. Did you mention Ho-Oh?
I did not, but that is another great pick.
With Incinerate, Brave Bird, and Sacred Fire.
Ooh, Florgit. I'm just, Mamoswine just had its community day.
Yes.
That's a great pick. Mamoswine, so you might have gotten some XL candy there. Powder Snow, Avalanche, High Horsepower. Again, because it's not legendary, it can be flexible to fit in either league. And the other Pokemon that's flexible like that, Florgis. We just had an event where Flabébé was featured. So that's another great Pokemon. There aren't that many fairy types up in Master League, but there are a lot of dragons and dark type Pokemon. So having a powerful fairy type can be really powerful as well.
So thank you to Zet Kahona for that. Next email is from Boz, and Boz also talks about Master League. They say, "Hi, DeFi and Fish. I've been listening to GoCast for some time now and love all the content you guys put out. I was really happy to see PvP Corner get its own standalone show within GoCast for deeper dives into how to better myself in the GBL. You guys have really helped me round out some good, great, and Ultra League teams. Prior to discovering this podcast, I relied heavily on Open Master League for any shot at hitting Ace or above, and it was difficult to climb ranks only playing when Master was open. So I really wanted to thank you for that. Now I can casually play the other modes to climb to level 20 while waiting on Master to open so I can further progress." And I'm going to just stop there to say that thank you so much for the kind words. We absolutely love hearing these good news stories like that. We love seeing how our words are helping people to develop at this game. It's really cool.
Agreed.
All that being said, I really want to get past the 21/2200 rankings, and I still think Master League is the most fun way to play GBL. Could we show a little more love to Master League? It seems like when it's open, you guys do a deep dive on whatever cup/mode is running in tandem, but don't give much attention to Master League itself. Even if it's just one episode a season to hear your takes on the meta, I think a lot of players could benefit from your insight.
I agree. I think these two emails that we got, both talking about Master League, I think that's kind of functioning as, hey, let's talk about the Master League. But I think it's hard because I don't have the level 50 Pokemon to compete in Master League because I don't do raids. And I know, Fish, you're very similar in that you don't do the raids to build these Pokemon. I have been saying that Master Premier has felt a lot more accessible lately because so many of these Pokemon, just like Mamoswine just had its Community Day Classic, so many of the Master Premier Pokemon feel a lot more accessible to even more casual players. So big fan of Master Premier, and I think we could do a little bit of a better job of touching base with Master League a little bit more often. So thanks for the call out on that.
I've been trying pretty hard to... I hesitate when I say pretty hard because it's like, well, I mean, there are some people that like go out and grind every day, and I'm not doing that, but like I'm trying as hard as my circumstances will allow to be able to compete in Master League because I really want to be able to be a person who can do that. Like I would love to be able to just fill in the Master League spot in my factions team for a week if necessary. Like I want to be able to do that. Until that point, like DeFi said, like not being able to play in it makes it pretty hard to comment on it. It's like if I tried to, analyze baseball. Like, I'm not really involved in that area, so I don't have the expertise to be able to comment on it. But yeah, we are working towards it, and I really want to be able to provide that content for you.
Yeah, and we can definitely touch base on Open Master League and Master Premier with a little bit more intentionality in the future.
Boz continues saying, my current team setup, opener, Melmetal, or Excadrill if I feel like a change-up, safe swap closer of Mew, running Flame Charge and Wild Charge, previously Flame Charge, Psyshock for stab, but I've tried Wild Charge this season for nuke ability and really like it.
And I like the word nuke ability. That's
nuke
what I
ability.
Like.
It's a very cromulent word. And safe swap slash tank Dragonite with Dragon Claw and Superpower, or Shadow Snorlax with Heavy Slam and Superpower. I like to believe this team has a little spice, and it's crazy fun to play. Mew is an absolute tank in the Master League, and by far my favorite Pokemon to use. I would love to hear your thoughts on my setup and what you all may be running in the Master League if slash when you do. I have nothing but love for you guys. Sorry for the ridiculously long email, and legend vibes to all. Sincerely, Boz.
My Mew is a 73% Mew. It's 10, 12, 11. That is the Mew that I would run in Master League.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my first Mew, my non-shiny. That would hurt me a little bit to power that up that far, but I could do it. My shiny is my Great League Mew. So it's hard because you only have two.
Yeah.
So you have to decide how you're going to use it.
It's great because like Shadow Mewtwo, we've gotten like three opportunities for that now. So you can build one for Great League, Ultra League, and Master League. But Mew, you've only got two. So you've got to make choices, DeFi.
You do. So I could build up because early on, before PvP really, or before I was into it very much, I did power up my Mew. So for a long time, I didn't have Mew as an option because I put candy into it just because I did for no particular reason. So I have this level 38 Mew now. So I could at some point, if I have the XL candy, if I just best buddy it and bring it to 50.
You're never going to have the XL candy. You've got to use rare XL candy on that.
True. So that would take some time. But I definitely think Mew in the Master League is very spicy. I know, just to talk, because you said we should talk a little bit more. I know Zacian is incredibly popular in the Master League, especially as like a swap or a closer, because it has Snarl, Close Combat, and Play Rough. A lot of teams, there's a lot of Steel, Metagross, Excadrill that you'll be looking out for. I'm taking a look on PB Poke, the most popular Master League teams. And last updated was a while ago, back in February, but I still think it gives a good idea of, in general, what the meta might be like. I'm seeing Palkia being a top team. Palkia,
yeah.
Metagross, Zacian.
Palkia underrated, I feel.
Yeah, Dragon Tail is a powerful move. Like, stab Dragon Tail, that's something. Zarude, I don't think I would ever be able to run an Open Master. That would be tough. Vine Whip, Zarude. Because, again, you only have the one. You only have the one. So I think Metagross is definitely a Pokemon that we didn't mention earlier for Master League. If I were to run Master League, Metagross is a Pokemon I would most certainly use.
Yep.
Because I do have my Hundo best buddy. Dialga, again, fantastic choice. We joke like Master League is Dialga lead. But I think there are some Pokemon coming that kind of challenge that. Or some Pokemon out there that do challenge Dialga. I would love to build a Lugia. Love to build a Lugia. I love Lugia.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. It's kind of like Pidgeot, where it's like its recommended moveset is all flying, but like it still gets the job done. Like it can still take Aeroblast takes out a very large chunk out of even Steel Pokemon.
I have 65 Lugia XL candy.
Yep. Get walking.
Yep.
I mean, so I specifically will not spend rare XL candy on anything other than a legendary, because the legendaries take, for a start, they're so hard to get the XLs for, but secondly, to walk it and get the XLs, it's 20 kilometers per candy. So like that, I feel like that is absolutely where I've got to spend my rare XL candy resources.
Agreed. I spent some on a Lickitung and I regret it, but I needed it for NAIC. Like I had a deadline fish. I had a deadline for that Lickitung.
Yeah.
There was a tournament day and it wasn't built, so I had to. But that's the only, it was only a little bit. It was for one level on a Lickitung.
Yeah.
So it wasn't all that much, and I haven't spent any since.
That's fair enough. Yeah, just a few cheeky little XLs here and there. Just make it up with a couple of raids, you're fine. I'm also looking at Mew versus the Master League meta. This seems like a Pokemon that would be very interesting because, like, a lot of those, this is with Flame Charge, Wild Charge. Like, a lot of these Pokemon that you can hit for super effective damage, it's really not comfortable. So, like, Lugia you beat with a rating of 582, where 500 is a draw. Anything above that is a win up to 1,000. And then anything below that is a loss. So 582 for Lugia, also 582 for Mamoswine. You're beating Kyogre with a rating of 537. So they're like, and I'm not saying that's not like necessarily a negative against Mew. I'm just saying like it would make for very interesting battles because you've got to be very aware of your HP, your energy, your shields when facing certain team compositions.
Yeah, definitely. Again, a spicy pick. I'm not sure if that would be a Pokemon I would build. Again, looking at Master League, specifically at Open, because that seems to be the league that Boz, you are running. I just cannot imagine myself building a Mew. Like, I could see there's really not any legendaries that I could build. I would want to build a Lugia. I would want to build, that would be the main one, a Melmetal. Yeah, I have a Melmetal, so I could do that in terms of legendaries. Lugia's the one I want, but can't have. I love that Pokemon.
I think it's time to move on. It's time for our shameless plugs. I want to give a shout out to some people who have made achievements in the Pallet Town PvP server, which is a community I run, and the GoCar server. There's a fair few this week for Pallet Town. So we have Maxitron, who's finished their GBL research. APX270 has hit level 43. Uberdrash, JW11F3, and Emmy Tiger Flash have all hit veteran. Dad hit rival, and Taco Dog 8 hit a new personal best of 24.07 in GBL. In the GoCast server, Jay Engineer posted that their team is leading in factions Emerald tier, and that he himself is like third in the individual player rankings for that league.
Also, for a shout out, I'm going to shout out myself. I've been streaming a little bit lately. Also, I'm going to put in the show notes, I'm going to put a reminder for myself to do that, would be that I am doing a fundraiser for the month of May for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. They do something called St. Jude Play Live as their big fundraiser for the month of May, and I am participating. So I have a Tiltify link that I can put in the show notes. I originally set a goal of $500 for the month of May to fundraise, and that proved to be not a big enough goal. So I have extended my goal to $1,000 for the month of May, and I will put that link in the show notes. If you are feeling generous, then I would encourage you to donate. This is a very, very good cause, a great organization.
We also have one thing to plug. So my community that I run, the Pallettown PvP, we have a program. Well, we've had a program called The Ring, which was a kind of King of the Ring style carryover champion format. Two people would play a best of seven series with blind battles, and they could only use each Pokemon once. So say if you use Swampert in battle one, you're not allowed to use Swampert again for the rest of the series. The winner would stay on and take on a new challenger next week. Now, fantastic format, and everyone who's kind of gotten involved with the competition has been like, this is so fun, when am I getting another shot? But I haven't been able to run it for a little while because just so busy doing other stuff. So it is being taken over by two members of the community. Their names are ZT Smith and Three Floyds, and I'm super, super excited about them. Actually, the first episode, I believe, is going to air today as we speak, as of this recording. And so they have asked myself and DeFi to appear as two challengers on the next episode. So I believe that will be May the 10th. Is that right, DeFi?
I believe so, a week from today's recording, so May 10th.
So that will be on the Palatown Twitch and YouTube channels. You'll get to see DeFi and I take each other on in a non-championship bout. So this is not for the belt. It's just an exhibition match. You'll get to see us take each other on in this best of seven blind battle series. Come check it out. It's 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Wednesday the 10th.
Looking forward to it. We love hearing your feedback, everyone. If you have questions or suggestions for Fisher, for myself, you can direct your feedback to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us a voicemail or physical mail to GoCast Podcast P.O. Box. You can take a look at the show description for the phone number and the P.O. Box address. In the show description, you can also click on More Fish or More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And with that, we'll chat next week.